Hello, radio family. Welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. And friends, we've got another wonderful guest in store for you today. We're going to be speaking with Jason Westerfield. Jason Westerfield is an equipper in the body of Christ. He is known for his intimacy with and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, keen prophetic insight into personal and international issues, and the demonstration of God's power through signs, wonders, and creative miracles. Jason's passion is to see sons and daughters fall in love with God, know their identity in Christ, and understand the kingdom of heaven. Wherever he travels, there is tremendous fruit and transformed lives with people being able to hear God's voice and see God's kingdom come in power. The hearts of believers are filled with the Father's love, and they are taught how to walk in Jesus' manifest miracle presence. Jason and his wife Jessica live in New Haven, Connecticut, with their son Ocean Alexander, daughter Bella Noel, and newborn son Justice Solomon. Jason was featured in the film Finger of God, where filmmaker Darren Wilson followed him to the campus of Yale University, and we got to see him pray for people and watch them be healed in front of our eyes. So it's a privilege and an honor for me to be speaking with Jason Westerfield right now on Divine Intervention. Jason, you're on Divine Intervention. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me today.
It's not a problem. So, Jay, I was really fascinated by you and your story and your ministry when I saw you on the film Finger of God. And, you know, my good buddy there, Darren, was following you around on the campus of Yale University, and some pretty amazing things happened. So we want to get to that, but before we do that, take us to the beginning. Tell us about who you are, what your background is, and what it was like growing up for you.
Well, growing up, I didn't grow up in a church or a religious home at any sort of the means. There wasn't any Christianity or any religion. And between my second grade year and elementary school and third grade year in the summer, my parents were pretty much about ready to get a divorce. Hmm. And I remember being in my room and pondering about God and thinking about God. I'd actually read somewhere that now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I shall die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And they were kind of being nervous a little bit from that, and I just sat there and I said, God, if you're real right now, I asked if you'd please come in my room, and when I did that, I just asked him as a child, you know, to reveal himself to me, and the Lord did. My whole thing pitch black, being full of light, bright light, and about 45 seconds later, my eyes dilated into the light, and the Lord Jesus was sitting in a prayer position, literally on his knees with his hands put together, with his head bowed right by my closet, and there was a living breath of life around him. Now I know the person of the Holy Spirit in a cloud, had like little lightning flashes and things inside of the glory of God. And I remember staring at him and then him turning around and looking at me and having the brightest eyes full of life that I'd ever seen in anyone. And he had the biggest smile of anyone I'd ever seen in the world. I mean, his smile was cheek to cheek, and I mean, there's a verse that says, in his presence is the fullness of joy, and God is good all the time, and his goodness is actually what's supposed to lead us to know him, not being scared with hell. And that goodness is the nature of God. It's Moses wanted to see God's glory, so I'm going to show you all my goodness. And so I really encountered the person of God, and Jesus, and his goodness, and his love, and his joy.
Wow.
Think of God, and then what happened is the cloud of God that was around him, the person of the Holy Spirit, came and rested on me in my bed, and I just laid there. And up until that point in my life, my mom was my best friend, and so when I thought of love, I would, you know, think of my mom. But when the Spirit of God, the glory of God, came and rested on me, there was a warm, fluid current of love going through my whole body. Every cell in my being just began to get completely filled and energized with the love of God and just how much God loved me. And I wasn't saved at this point. I didn't know him. I did call upon him with all my heart, with childlike faith, and the Lord revealed and made himself known. And I remember just sitting there in that love and basking. And I've never felt so much peace or rest, and falling asleep eventually in that, in the love of God, with Jesus was looking at me. And so that was my first encounter with God.
That's pretty powerful.
And then when I was 23 years old. I was living in Southern California, getting to do some work in the entertainment industry, some modeling and acting. And I remember coming kind of the end of my rope, where I was around a lot of people who had money, who had influence, who fame. And I remember thinking, this isn't it. I thought this would be it. This is what the world puts up. This is the image the world puts up. If you have this, then you're happy and you'd be successful. And I remember being around that and experiencing just a small measure of that and realizing this isn't it. So I remember taking 3.5 weeks off from work and auditions and doing things in L.A. and going to run and try to be holistic and pray and meditate and do whatever I could to try to connect, because I knew there was a God out there, and I knew there was a kingdom, a world out there that oversaw everything and every nation and all the universe and everything, but I didn't know how to get in. And I never had any Christian ever share the love of God with me or share with me if I have a personal relationship with God, or I probably would have ran to church a long time before that.
So you're 23 years old, and you...
So what happened is I just called upon God again, and when I did, the Lord had visited me again, and this time revealed who He was and being Jesus, and that's how I got saved. I got saved in my living room in Dana Point in Southern California in January of 1999,
okay.
And ever since then, I've just been walking with the Lord.
So you had this supernatural experience, this theophany, if you will, as a second grader, and then virtually no Christian influence from that time until you were 23?
I had no Christian influence. The only thing I ever knew from actually the church was people, either by their attitudes or their words or their actions, putting out what now I know is pride and judgment, condemnation, and a religious spirit, but just that they were better than me, or just telling me that, you know, I was going to hell.
Wow.
But no one ever shared the goodness or kindness or the love of God or prayed for me when I was sick or visited me when I was down or anything like, you know, Christ would.
Right. Did you grow up in Connecticut, or were you growing up in California?
I grew up in the state of Washington.
Washington, okay.
And I went to the University of Hawaii for a year. And when I came back, I stayed in Seattle for a couple years, and I moved down when I was 22 years old to Southern California, and after being down there for a little less than a year is when I had an encounter with God where I just cried out to Him and wanted Him, and then when He came, I didn't know the right way to pray or anything, and I knew how to talk from my heart, though, and thank God that's all He asked.
Right.
Who we are. This day, I'm really sorry for everything. Would you please, you know, give me, and I asked you just to, you know, come into my life and do what you want with my life. And I had no idea then I would be where I am today. But I just kept surrendering and wanting Him because I tasted of everything else, and it wasn't it. He's the only thing with His life.
Right. So you had a divine intervention there with God Himself. That's pretty cool, because a lot of people, they come to faith in different ways. Some people grow up in the church, and they may not even ever have that personal connection that you got just from crying out from the depth of your heart. So very cool stuff. Now, I wanted to ask you, how did you get to the place where you are in your life right now? Because you're in full-time ministry. You have the ministry called Kingdom Reality. How did that come about, and, you know, what does that name mean?
Well, Jesus, He said the Father seeking worshipers of spirit and truth. And the word truth there is reality.
Okay.
And the only gospel that Jesus ever preached wasn't forgiveness of sins, although forgiveness of sins is the entrance in. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. Most people, unfortunately, have got the gospel of forgiveness of sins or salvation. So they have a perspective and a paradigm, a worldview that they'll die one day and go to heaven, where it says eternal life's in Christ right now. And so it says in Ephesians, He's seated in heavenly places. In Ephesians 2, it says we're seated in heavenly places with them. And it's not to pray that we leave, because in John 17, He prayed that the glory would be with us and we'd be unified and be made one, that He wouldn't take us out, but He'd keep us here, and that He would cover us, and that those through our words would get saved as well. And you also see in the Lord's Prayer, He didn't pray for us to leave. He said, pray that my kingdom would come. on earth as it is in heaven. So it's the reality of the realm, world of God, of as it is in heaven, where Jesus is at, that has no sin, has no sickness, has no disease,
right,
has no death, has no curses, has no devils around the throne of God, but full of life, healing, and abundance, and blessing, and prosperity, and just creativity. I mean, the realm of as it is on the throne, the rule and reign, the dominion of God, the kingdom of God, is what he wants to come on earth as it is in heaven. So literally, Jesus came to restore what was lost. He came to restore us in our relationship with the Father, but also restore the glory to be in us and with us, that we'd be able, by his Spirit and in his name, to really be able to transform the world and disciple nations and see new leadership arise and make the world a better place for the next generation.
Right,
and before the children can be in a better world than the one they inherited from us. You know, he wants to disciple the nations, which is a lot more than forgiveness of sins and get people to leave later.
Right.
About bringing the kingdom here on earth now, and then one day we'll fully be with the Lord as well. So that's what kingdom reality is, really the Lord's prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth today, which is literally your eternal realm, the divine supernatural, your kingdom, the kingdom of as it is in heaven, in righteousness, peace, and joy. Would it please invade into the nations, and not just visit, but create a habitation of glory where it changes the way the natural realm is and changes the way we relate to God and one to another, where instead of being the way things are with all the social ills, they're literally through peace and fellowship and good news and glad tidings of mankind and love for one another between people and God, their marriages, their children, you know, going right into the home, because the blessings of Abraham, the relationship God had with Abraham, was really so he could teach his children the ways of God.
Right.
And that through them, every family of the earth would be blessed. So it's not about Jews or Christians or any religious organization or groups. God's heart is a father. Every family of the earth would be blessed. So it's really about family and seeing the homes established in those relationships.
Right.
And how this kind of started with me is after I had that second encounter with God in January of 1999, I had no idea even to go to church. I would just kept reading the Bible for 4 to 6 to 8 hours a day. And I was just so hungry. I was wondering, why didn't they ever give this to me in the public school? Because
right.
It was so good. It was filling me, and there was so much wisdom and knowledge. And I mean, there's so much in the Bible and God and His Word of One. And the first 3.5 weeks, I was having encounters every day. I didn't know what was normal. I didn't know what was for today, what wasn't. I hadn't had doctrines of man or traditions of man or anything.
That's right.
It, all I had was the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And so I started reading through people's lives like Noah and the encounters that he had with God, and the Lord used him to change the world literally globally. And I looked at Abraham and the relationship that he had with God, with Jesus and angels and revelation and supernatural provision, but at the same time having a relationship with world leaders and in changing the landscape of the earth. And then I looked at Isaac, the same type of thing, relationships with God and in the realm of the heavens, glory of God. But then in the earth, you know, really moving and influence and favor and prosperity and changing the world. And you look at Jacob, and then you look at Joseph. He had a relationship with God,
right,
and what God did with him, but giving him an economic stimulus package for Egypt and for the whole world.
Right.
Where literally the wealth of all nations came into Egypt because of the revelation and so forth. So as I went through this, it wasn't until after Moses came out of the Red Seas and the Lord split them through them, they finally get revelation of the statutes, the ordinances, and principles of God to be able to write, of which we know now is the law, you know, where they had something written.
Right.
So these people had relationship with God before they ever had anything written, because God always has been, and so is his kingdom, and those that know him and his ways, he walked with. And so as I studied throughout the whole Bible, then you see Joshua coming in the land, you know, moving in a governmental position, but also with the Lord with him, you know, in a remarkable way. And you look at the book of Judges, when the nations would go astray, the economy would go down, and the environment would not be fruitful and produce.
It's
and so a lot of the issues even facing today is the economic and also the environmental issues, why world leaders are meeting in G12s and G20s. It's the same exact things. We need to turn to God and see David domestically coming into a realm of favor in that nation and blessing the nation, and Solomon, his son, coming into a greater realm of international global favor, where literally every world leader of the day wanted to meet with him, and there was the glory in the heavens, there was the wisdom, there was world leaders coming with him to fight, but they actually wanted to receive the wisdom of heaven, what God put in his mind, and then the wealth and the economy and the environment, everything flourished, and then they had international influence that helped the world as well. And so as I looked at the whole Bible, I saw these people who walked with God and what had happened, so I just thought that was what was normal, because all I had was the Bible. That it says, with the seed of Abraham, and out of that kings will come forth, and every family of earth be blessed. So this set my gaze on, okay, God, you've raised up everyone that's in you. You are the head, but you raised them up as the head. So everyone's to come into some measure of leadership and influence in heaven, and some measure of leadership and influence on earth. Make this world a better place by your spirit and by your name, Jesus, and by you doing it through us, as we align with your purpose and plans and nations.
And you're seeing that manifested in your life right now in various different ways. I mean, you go out on the streets and you see people transformed through miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to ask you if you can share some specific examples of things that are happening while you go out and minister. And maybe you can also touch on the difference between a miracle and a sign and a wonder, because I know you make a distinction there.
Yeah. Healings can, like, for instance, when God says he'll outstretch his hand and heal the land, and then he also grants healings and signs and wonders, Jesus wants to restore what was lost, and he wants to heal everything that's been broken down. So when God wants to bring healing, and we're all called to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, it also says hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Right.
So when God's pouring out his spirit in all flesh, he removes a stony heart, gives you a heart of flesh, and heals your broken heart. And at the same time, if your body has been broken down, or you're emotionally bent and broken down, or mentally distraught and broken down, God wants to bring healing to your heart, your mind, your emotions. He wants to bring healing to your body. But healing doesn't stop there. God's heart is not just an individual. When God thinks about people, he thinks like a father. He thinks about a family. That's why it says this gift and promise for you and your household. So the healing that needs to come in marriages, you know, we can't put our work before our marriage.
Right.
A lot of people do that in ministry, and that's completely off. The order of God is God first, gives king right, second your spouse, third your children, and from fourth is the role and occupation that he's given you and your gift and calling to do in this earth, your assignment from heaven, your purpose. And so healing needs to come in the marriages, and at the same time, healing needs to come into the relationship between the parents and the children, and the children and the parents. And from that, healing needs to come in the relationship with the people around you, our neighbors. When you talk about divine intervention and breakthrough, house of power and house of glory, the anointing, the power of God, the spirit of might comes to break off the spirits and also to break off the mindsets and the thoughts and ways that have hindered true relationships and life with God. And so that's where the power comes, but then it doesn't end with power. The breakthrough is just the medium. The end result is the glory of fruit-worthy repentance and relationships and things looking down here in the culture of earth like they are in heaven. So that looks like relationships between people with one another, households with one another, businesses with one another, governments with one another. You know, it just goes on and on.
Right.
God wants this earth and the people to work together in unity for the Lord command the blessing. And so in terms of healing, if we will walk in that unity with God, you'll watch as God also begins to outstretch his hand, heal the land. So then you begin to see healing take place in the creation and the environment, the ecosystem. Weather patterns start going, fruit starts producing, your commodity market begins to go up. I mean, these are just natural kingdom things when it comes on earth. And the earth isn't the church service. The earth is literally the planet earth. The ecosystem, seeing the kingdom come on earth, but because the earth is under our stewardship, first has to come in the hearts and minds of man, and through them, and especially leadership, creating the atmosphere, creates the heavens around the place in the spirit realm, and then it begins to manifest on the earth in people's relationships, in every sphere and sector of society, but also in the land itself. So healing is that, and healing is progressive recovery, where you might not have an instantaneous miracle that's right this second. But if we'll continue to walk in the ways of God, he'll begin to work with us as we work with him, bring progressive health in everything, because he prays that we be in health and prosper as our soul prospers.
Okay.
A miracle is an instantaneous breakthrough. When you're praying with somebody who who has had cancer or a tumor or deaf ears or something like this, you pray. Sometimes it gets a measure better, but not all the way complete. That is a healing. What we need to do is be thankful for the healing and keep moving forward. And then what we'll find is it keeps bringing forth and increasing. There are other times when you pray for people with like a cancer, tumor, or deafness like we're sharing here, and they're instantaneously healed. Now that is a miracle of healing. And then besides miracles of healing, there's miracles in the realms of signs and wonders. Miracles in the realms of signs and wonders is really what they're talking about in the book of Acts, where he was quoting Joel, and Peter got him and spoke and said, this is that. And what he was saying there, at the very bottom, it says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved, there's forgiven, delivered, healed, prosperous, victorious. That's what we usually know as salvation. He said they'll get dreams and visions. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. The Spirit will be put upon all. It says they prophesy. It says then they see signs and wonders in the heavens and earth. So God wants to touch individuals on a micro level, that eventually wants to disciple a nation on a macro level, where it begins to change the heavens and the earth. And It's literally saying there's a generation that's coming, then he actually established that as normal, although it hasn't been normal for a long time, where we'll not only walk in signs and wonders, following those who believe in healings and deliverances and miracles in the body, but also begin over atmospheres and environments, over the heavens and earth as well. And so signs and wonders have to do with the things of the creative realm of God, where it says, by his will all things are held together, right, by the word of his power, but by his will all things were created. Where in signs and wonders, for instance, there's a lot of manifestations of the realm of heaven, like when the manna came, they didn't know what it was. It literally came right out of the cloud. They'd never seen it. Manna means, what is this? And there was little golden like flake on the ground. The manna is what the children of Israel ate, and they were strengthened for 40 years and walked in divine health. And that was under lesser glory of the Old Testament. So signs and wonders can have to do with created things in that realm, into this realm, like man and old, like angel food being held, Elijah, like multiplication miracles, like limbs being created and growing out. So you can see that with food. You can see that even in the Old Testament, Elisha, he says, go dig ditches, and there won't be any rain, but there'll be filled with water. So that's a created miracle. It's finding the wonder with Joshua, with standing still, with Moses, and with the Red Sea splitting, with Joshua and the Jordan rolling back, with the walls of Jericho coming down. These are the realm of signs and wonders over heaven, things in the atmosphere, like weather patterns and things like this, in the star systems, the constellations, also things in the earth that have to do with our natural geological structures, plate tectonics, stuff like this, that God will sometimes intervene and move upon, because there's things that are hindering the fullness of life in the ecosystem, and there's also things that are hindering the fullness of life and how God ordered the creation to be originally made it.
Jason, we got just a minute before a break here, but once again, we're speaking with Jason Westerfield. He is of Kingdom Reality Ministries, and that's kingdomreality.com, is that right?
That's right.
Kingdomreality.com, and he is a healing minister. Jay, we just got a minute before the break, but can you give us one specific example of a sign or a wonder that you've witnessed while out ministering?
Yeah, it's how about this past week?
Sure.
I was just in New Zealand, in a realm of the glory opened up. There were a lot of physical healing miracles taking place inside the room, but then God opened up the Metron realm of authority and the spiritual realm beyond the room, over the whole nation of New Zealand. And then God said that he was removing the overcast shadow, a death cast its shadow, and opening up heaven over the whole nation. And when the heavens opened, the spirit of death, the overcast shadow that kept people in depression and weight and heaviness, that thing was going to get pushed back. And as a result of that thing getting pushed back, there was going to be an earthquake. It wasn't an earthquake where people get hurt, but if you take 1,000 pounds off someone's shoulders, you're going to release a big sigh of relief. And so now when you do that over the heavens, over a nation, it's going to release the land underneath us. It's going to release a sigh of relief of the earthquake. So I then stood up there, I just began to decree what God was going to do. And then within the next hour, there were a couple earthquakes that just hit the country, but no one got hurt, but the place shook. And then the Spirit of God began to be poured out in those different regions as well.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Jay, we're going to come right back after the break. We're speaking with Jason Westerfield. He is a healing minister, and his ministry is kingdomreality.com. So check him out. We'll be right back with more of Jason Westerfield on Divine Intervention. Stay with us. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. If you enjoy the testimonies on my talk show, I've also written a book containing more amazing stories of God's divine interventions and miracles. More information about Divine Intervention, the book, can be found on the web at www.zulonpress.com. That's XULONpress.com. Or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665.
Divine Intervention is supported by Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems. Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems is the leading manufacturer of vegetable oil conversion kits for diesel vehicles. With Grease Car Kits, your diesel vehicle can run on waste vegetable oil, saving money while recycling and helping to preserve the environment. Kits are available for diesel-powered cars, light-duty and heavy-duty trucks. More information can be found on the web at www.greasecar.com or by calling 413-534-0013.
GSRmedia.com. His voice, his vision, his creative gifts with modern technology. Incredible streaming, television, radio, commercial and video streaming, podcasting, publishing. GSRmedia.com. Inspire, create, produce creative gifts for his glory. GSRmedia.com.
Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Amsterdam NYC, a transcription and typing service with over 17 years of experience. Services include medical, legal, and court reporting transcriptions, professional word processing, and more. More information can be found on the web at www.amsterdamnyc.com or by calling 347-801-0009. Divine Intervention is supported by the Other Perspective Media recording artist, poet Billy Lamont. Poetry, music, film, video, publishing, art, activism, photography, philosophy, Jesus. The Other Perspective 777, a sacred art sensory experience. More information about poet Billy Lamont's CDs, books, and Other Perspective Media can be found at www.billylamont.com. That's www.billylamont.com. Welcome back to Divine Intervention. This is the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we've been speaking with our special guest, Jason Westerfield of Kingdom Reality Ministries, kingdomreality.com. And he's been telling us about some of the miracles, signs, and wonders he's witnessed. Jason, welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, Jay, I want to ask you about how you got hooked up with Darren Wilson, and you were featured in the film Finger of God. You have a very interesting scene in there where you went to the campus of Yale University, and you just prayed for strangers, and they got healed. Tell us about that and what happened that day.
Well, Darren was filming the film Finger of God, and it had actually been a year to the date of when he started. And the first person he started with is a good friend of mine who actually used to be my neighbor, Bill Johnson of Bethel Church in Redding, California. And when he came over to my house, the first thing Darren was talking about was the different things that had happened all year and the work that he'd been filming that he's seen God do and the people he'd been in relationship with and met along the way all across the planet, of watching really the hand of God moving all over the earth. And the first thing that we did is not go out and do anything, but our heart is all about relationship and family. Mm-hmm. So we just told him to rest a little bit. We'll just enjoy our time together and got food, hung out. Got to know him as a person beyond function, beyond any of the work. And just had a good community time there with one another and just appreciating him for who he is. And then what happened next, I just began to pray, and God began to share with me, I want you to go over to Yale University and just begin to walk around and you know, don't focus on anything for media or cameras or anything like that. But you just go out and love people, and then I'm going to work with you and lead you where to go. So I told Darren, you know, I know you're filming this and you're getting different footage, but nothing I'm doing is going to be about any footage. I'm not doing anything to show miracles. We're just going to go love people, and you can bring your camera, and you can film what happens. So that was context and how things came about. And then when I went to Yale University, the cloud of God's presence with us in an amazing way. And I remember there was a group of about 12 to 15 people. I went up to them and just started talking to them. And as I did, the Lord said his presence was going to start coming upon them, so I got them together. They were people who worked over there at the university. And as I just began to share with them, a lot of them didn't want to hear, but then I said, God's going to share with me some different things about your lives, that you would know that he's real and he has a future, a plan, and hope to prosper you, like Jeremiah says. And then God began to give me, you know, 10, 15 facts about a lot of these people, and a lot of them just began to come into tears, and they knew each other, because there's no way God, no way someone could know those things about someone they didn't know, specific wow. details about either their names or places they're from or things that are going on in their lives. And it wasn't any bad thing. It was just God sharing that he knew where they were at. But then God began to share the purpose and plan and hope that he has and the calling for them. And they just began to get totally teared up. And then the Lord said that his presence of his kingdom was going to come in a greater level. And as a result of this, he makes his angels winds, his ministers flames of fire. As a result of this, winds were going to blow. And it was absolutely, completely calm out there. And he said winds were going to begin to blow as angelic activity comes around, rejoicing with those who are going to get saved. And next thing you know, the wonder of the wind came, the sign, and it began to blow all over, literally blowing the trees around, blowing across the people's hair. And it just came straight out like that. And so that was really amazing. And then people began to give their hearts to Jesus, and we're not touching anybody. And when the presence of God just came down, his glory upon the people, I just began to share different people's issues that God was healing that I didn't know. And the next thing, you know, miracles begin to break out sovereignly with nobody touching anyone, backs getting healed, ankles getting healed, knees getting healed, ears opening up, some really amazing miracles. And then people gave their hearts over to Jesus, and that was the most amazing miracle.
Wow.
While God does all of his goodness and his glory reveals it, what he really wants is a personal relationship with people.
Right. And we saw a part of that, just a couple of the miracles in the film Finger of God, but I'm sure there was a lot that happened that wasn't filmed. And I was just blown away by that because, you know, to your typical average American watching that film, it's really way outside the box of even a typical church person. I mean, you're seeing the glory of God manifested in a way that's supernatural, and it's something you may read about in the book of Acts, but I would say few people actually have those kind of experiences, or few average people, let's say. You know, when you talk about God revealing to you things about another person, the world may look at that and say, oh, this guy maybe has a psychic power or something like that, or maybe you have a gift of prophecy. I don't know. What would you say to those types of people who may be listening, thinking that?
Well, that's the easiest thing to do is categorize and compartmentalize things. Because one of the enemy's greatest tricks is separation.
Mm-hmm.
He really wants to throw on condemnation or inadequacy or that person's extra special. But the truth is we're all special. God so loved the whole world and everybody. And there are like gifts of the Spirit and things like that, but those are also for everybody. It says everyone's given a gift of manifestation. But the place that I move out of is not an office gift and is not just a gift of the Spirit. The place that I always move out of is this, the personal relationship with the Lord relationally. And so there are different gifts that everybody has, but the place that I move out of when I minister is actually a relationship. I move out of my identity of Christ being in me and me being in him and being grounded in the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the most important thing, because in presence, in him, we have everything. The fullness of him is in Christ, and Christ is in us. And so I don't ever depend on a gifting, nor do I have any of my identity in giftings. I have my faith in the nature of God, and that he'll supply and meet what I need and needs others through me by his riches and glory. If I'll make myself available, have a servant heart, prefer others better than myself, and just expect to see God's goodness and his glory come. That's my role. to make myself available and press past the fear of something doesn't happen. People think you have to press past all this stuff to move in love, and if you move in love, love is really the nature of God and the Spirit that begins to make the miracles.
Right. Now, how would you, or what would you advise someone who is looking to be able to connect with God and to see some of these fruits in their own life? I mean, what would you tell those people?
Well, the first and most important thing is understanding the cross and what the cross is all about and the shed blood of Jesus. Every person around this whole planet knows deep within them that there is something else or someone else out there. And so understanding the only way to connect with God is through the person of Jesus. Religion is something that man made to try to connect with God. It's all performance-based. And religion will wear you out, will dry you out. There's no hope in religion but strife. But God is after a personal relationship. And so Jesus, God's answer to mankind, to come to earth, where if we will receive Jesus, who died on the cross, the personal Lord and Savior, and rose again. The good news is that he didn't need to die, but if he rose again, that shed blood, every single person has sin that has separated them from God, is not way out there, but right in front of our face, close to our own skin. And so we have to repent of our sin and our shortcomings. This is all falling short of the glory. So we need to repent of our sins and turn from our attitudes, our thoughts, and our ways, and put our trust, put our faith in the name of Jesus, and call upon God. And then believe in our heart that he really rose again and died for my personal sins, the thing that separated me from literally a loving, good Father and the glory of God. And then begin to confess their mouth that he is our Lord. With that, it says we'll be in right standing with God Almighty. Then we'll receive the gift and promise of the person of the Holy Spirit. And the person of the Holy Spirit is the glory of God, is the gift of God. So more than gifts of the Spirit, there's the gift of God, the person of God, and he's more than enough. God will then begin to come into our heart, fill our spirit. Our spirit will wake up, and the fullness of God will begin to come into our spirit, and then we'll begin to start the journey. It's never complete the first day, but you start a journey with God where you can know him, begin to grow with him. The most important thing to learn to know God is to start in faith in the name of Jesus and draw near to him. And that every single day, make sure we don't go back into a work performance mentality where we try to earn his approval. The only way you'll ever get his approval is by receiving his son. And a lot of us that grew up in a performance mentality, we have to earn things, so we have a real struggle just receiving grace. So we first believe, then we receive. Then every day when we get up, we do the same thing. Now we're like standing with God, but we press into his kingdom. We speak first him and his righteousness. We draw near to God with our heart, just our head, with our heart. And we want to know him. And then what he just said is those who draw near to me with all their heart, he said, they'll find me. And if we'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. And then we can begin that relationship with God out of which everything flows.
Very, very interesting and very good answer, too. Friends, if you're listening at home, once again, we're speaking with Jason Westerfield, and I would highly encourage you to take his advice if that's you. If you want to see God move in your life, first thing would be to accept Christ into your life and receive his grace, his goodness, and his love. Jason, as you take this message of the gospel to the people of Connecticut and to the world, I want to know what kind of fruit are you seeing? Because I wanted to ask you, actually, about the state of Connecticut. I read a poll that it is the least evangelical state in the entire union and a very ripe mission field. So how did you end up in Connecticut, and how is your ministry going there?
The ministry is going great here in Connecticut. We have a wonderful local church, and we're establishing wonderful relationships with leaders throughout the region, and things are growing tremendously. This year we're hosting 8 different events, gatherings that are really times of coming together to break open a region in the heavens to climb to higher higher heights of God's glory and revelation in him, and deeper intimacy with God, and then pouring into leadership and the people around. And we're also having conferences. We have different global gifts in the body of Christ come in to help partner with us to help build and establish the local church. See the leadership and the people filled up and empowered and equipped, and then be able to take it out to people in the surrounding areas where they can not just know the Word of God in principle, but see the living God revealed by His grace, His power, with signs, wonders, and miracles. So equipping people for the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of God, and also equipping them for the work and the ministry that they can go out in word and spirit and literally make God known in His Word, but also God working with them, performing His Word with signs and wonders. So in Connecticut, it's going really good. Things are really increasing and growing. There's a lot of favor that God's releasing. In fact, next week I'll be speaking at Yale University.
Mm.
Yale University asked me to come in and speak at their divinity school. So I'm really excited about that.
Praise
and then
God.
Just around the world, this is our headquarters for our base, what we're establishing here in Connecticut. But we'll go throughout the whole world, and every month I'm in another nation. This year I'm in New Zealand 3 times, Australia 3 times, England and the UK 3 times. And God just has us over in these places, working with the leadership of the nation, both in the church, but also in the government, business arena, and doing things with the media to really get His Word out there. If something is going to expand, the people have to get a hold of it and run with it. But if something's going to be established, the leadership has to be in place.
Right. I'm very, very happy to see what God is doing through you and taking you all over the world. And, you know, out of your base in Connecticut, it's a wonderful thing. I also saw you in the trailer for the new film, Furious Love. Is that true?
Yes, we filmed that this past year, and it just came out, I think, a week and a half ago.
Yeah, tell us about that film a little bit and what your part was in that film.
Darren Wilson called me up and he said, Jason, the Lord has given me a second part, a sequel to The Finger of God, and this one is to really be about light and darkness clashing and about God's power in both of these. And I want to do this documentary, this film, where we go into some really dark places in the world, but we go in there and we see the light of God, the glory of God, God's power come in, and the power of light over darkness, the power of the kingdom of God over the kingdom of the enemy. He said, would you like to be a part of this? And I said, sure, that'll be great. And so my role was the role of America. He went to many nations around the world. But in the United States of America here, Salem, Massachusetts is oftentimes known where they had witch hunts and all these different things. But people from around the world come to Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween time, literally they pay thousands and thousands of dollars, hoping they'll have an encounter with the spiritual realm. Unfortunately, they usually come for demons and bears and ghost encounters and stuff, and there's a lot of real things that happen out there. So many refer to Salem, Massachusetts as the witchcraft capital of America. It's very steeped in the occult there. And so he said, would you like to go to Salem? And I said, that sounds great. I've been out there before. I'm not afraid of darkness. The enemy has no authority. And so there's no reason ever for a Christian to be ever afraid of the enemy. He has no authority.
Mm.
You have the authority, and authority is the right to exercise power. This is a very important thing.
Amen.
No one should ever be afraid of any devil or the enemy, but have the fear of God in their life instead. Because authority is the right to exercise power. Someone does not have authority, and they're exercising power. They're exercising power illegitimately. A lot of Christians feel powerless, but it's not a matter if you feel power or not. It's a matter if you believe you're a child of God, and He's giving the right and privilege that's showing you have authority. With authority, you have the right to exercise power. And if you have the authority, you have the right to break down the power that's functioning that's not supposed to be there when there's no authority.
Mm-hmm.
Talking spiritually speaking here, but it's also similar in the natural realm as well. And so I went over to Salem, and I had one mission that wasn't to see miracles or power encounters, although those things happen. This is a byproduct of the gospel of the kingdom. If you don't like confrontation, you shouldn't be in the kingdom, because it's complete confrontation all the time, because the cross is an offense. And He even said, you have to love me more than your own family. You know, so Jesus loves everybody, but the enemy He does not like, and mankind is not the enemy. It's the spiritual realm. And so He comes to bring a division, a sword there, but comes to bring unity and peace amongst mankind. And so I went over there and just began to pray, and I said, I have an idea from God. He just told me I need to stand over here right now. You start bringing the people over, and then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for them. He said, right out here. I'm like, yep, right out here. So right in the midst of all the witches and warlocks and the people doing their occultic stuff, I just stood there, and I just began to worship God and see the realm of the kingdom open up. If you want to have God, you draw near to God. You don't have to yell at the devil to get God to come. How you get to know someone is turning attention to that person. A lot of people yell at the devil to get God to come, and they call it spiritual warfare. If you want God to come, then just talk to God and worship Him. So I took my attention off everything going on in the natural realm and the spiritual realm. I don't go by the spiritual realm. I go by God, who's over the spiritual realm. And I just began to put my attention on God and love Him. His presence began to come, and once His presence was established, it was very easy, because He'll set out a banqueting table right in the midst of your spiritual enemies. You know, so you can have a great time and enjoy the Lord your strength. We started then drawing people over. People would come over. They wanted to be there. Then I start to pray for people, and God would start giving me revelation of their life. Everyone you see Jesus encountering, usually in the disciples and apostles, the place where you go, you move in revelation knowledge, or you know facts and details and things about people's life you couldn't know. And then that was happening, the good word of God, but the power of the kingdom was coming with miracles, signs and wonders, healings, deliverances, different things happening with the people in Jesus' life, but the same thing that happened there, because the same Father, the same Holy Spirit, the same exact gospel, it hasn't changed. And so people were getting saved, people were getting revelation about their lives, and the miracles began to break out, instantaneous healings, without anyone even touching people.
Wow.
And then the power started hitting some people where they just started falling out of the power, and they had to catch them with no one touching them just because of what God was doing. So it was really, really amazing. The people just kept coming and coming and coming, and the glory kept getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And it was neat because some of the people from the occult came over, and then they were changed, and you know, they were drawing near to God, and they turned their worship to Him.
That's pretty amazing, and I can't wait to check out the film. Once again, we're speaking with Jason Westerfield. He's a minister, a healing minister, and his ministry is called Kingdom Reality, kingdomreality.com, and he is featured in the new film, Furious Love, the sequel to Finger of God by Darren Wilson, so I highly recommend you check it out. Jason, I wanted to ask you, if there's someone listening to this interview right now who maybe doesn't believe in all this supernatural stuff, maybe they're a complete skeptic, don't even believe in God, what would you want to say to those people?
One thing, and that's God loves you unconditionally. Whether you believe in Him or not, He believes in you. And whether you love Him or not, He loves you. And no matter how much you either want to be in His presence or don't want to be in His presence, He'll always love your presence more than you love His. He's a good Father, and the only reason why we have issues with God is usually because we've had issues with people in authority
right. In
our life growing up who didn't do a good job fathering us, whether it be our parents, whether it be our teachers at school, whether it be politicians who are supposed to be governing officials, help father what's best for the nation. Usually because of hypocrisy and corruption, but people's word and their actions did not align. There was not integrity or character. Trust was broken. And so when we have that trust broken, how much more difficult is it to trust an invisible God out there that supposedly runs the whole universe and everything? And that's why it says you have to have faith in Jesus. And when you look at the life of Jesus, there was a time where a woman caught in adultery was before Jesus. And all these people who were very religious came and stood before Him, and they said, what would you do with her? Because the law says that you're to stone the people, the person caught in adultery.
Right, right.
Said, this is what the law says, what would you do? And the only person there, Jesus said, he who has no sin cast the first stone. And every person there had sin in life. The only person that had no sin was Jesus. And yet you don't see Him stoop to that level of low immaturity, of firing back with blame and accusation and getting into a fight. What He does is He does not compromise the truth. He tells her, go spin your way no more. But He also continues to love her. And so there is a standard in the kingdom. There is morality. There is ethics. There are things that we have to come in line with and come God's way. That's because of who He is and who He's created us to be. But the love of God, it's the goodness of God, it's the kindness of God. Most people got a gospel of being scared from hell, instead of being turned by the heart of God and the love of God and the goodness of God
right. For
them. Hell was never created for mankind. It was created for the enemy who tries to rob us of the fullness of life. And so God loves people tremendously, and it's God's goodness and His love that wants to turn people to Him. He's a good Father. He wants His kids back, and it was His idea in Jesus who revealed the nature and the love of God, His Son. It was He's the one who sent Jesus so that he can get all humanity, all his family back, so he could dwell with them. He just wants a relationship with his kids.
Right. I think what you said there is very key in that when we have broken trust, I mean, a lot of times people put their image of God, they base it on their image of their own earthly fathers. And sometimes when their fathers weren't the best role models, you know, that can affect their relationship with God. Similarly, if they look at Christians who are supposed to represent God, or anyone who's claiming to represent God, and they misrepresent him, or they can, you know, manifest sins or whatever, that can affect people's perception of God. So I would also encourage people, hey, look to God, look to Jesus Christ, because he is the Father personified. He is the only one without sin, and he is the one we should look to. You can't look to man to get to God. You have to go to God himself, and Jesus was God in the flesh. So thank you for that wonderful piece of advice and that illustration you gave. That was a very good answer.
Well, thank you. It was good talking with you guys today.
You're welcome.
Just pray really for the love of God. That's the answer. It's not fighting. It's not religiosity. It's not organizations. It's really, there's a loving Father who so loved the world. He sent his only begotten Son, and he literally paid a sacrifice with his own blood,
Right. Literally
a blood sacrifice, to be able to atone for the sin of the world, to remove it, so he could have all his children back.
Right.
God has given us something, which is our own choice, our own will, our own decision. And he doesn't want robots. He wants relationships with a family and friends. And so he says, if you trust me and give this back to me, I'm not going to hurt you like every other person is. I'm gonna heal you. I'm going to restore you. But because of everything you've been through, you got trust issues.
Mm.
But if you just trust in my Son, you're drawn near. I got a plan and a purpose and a future for you, which is hope and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
To not only bless you, but to bless your family and to restore it, but also through your family, to bless all the families of the earth.
Amen. Once again, we're speaking with Jason Westerfield of Kingdom Reality Ministries. And Jason, we've got just a couple of minutes. But before we go, I just want to ask you one final question. When your time on earth is done and God takes you home, how would you like to be remembered on earth?
I want to be remembered that this is a person who knew God, loved people, was a good father to his generation, a good father to his children, a good husband to his wife, and a good friend to all.
All right. Great answer. Well, from talking to you, it's pretty evident that you do love God and that you know, he is using you mightily. So I want to thank you once again for taking the time out of your schedule to share with us some divine intervention, some of the amazing things that God has done in your life. I want to encourage you to keep up the great work for the Lord. Thanks so much.
God bless you guys and have a great day.
You too. Well, friends, that about does it for this edition of Divine Intervention. Once again, I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. We've been speaking with Jason Westerfield. His website is kingdomreality.com. Highly recommend you check it out. And you can also see him in the films Finger of God and Furious Love by Darren Wilson. Check him out on DVD. Hope this episode has encouraged you to know that God is real. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up. We're at divineintervention@mail.com. Divine Intervention, all one word, at mail.com. And please check out our archives. All of our shows are archived on the internet. DivineInterventionRadio.com. DivineInterventionRadio.com. God willing, I will see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention. Take care and God bless. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope it has inspired you. More information about the show, free downloads, and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com.